Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to New York.
Attention fans, this is the Devil's State of Mind podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Neil Villapiano!
The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, and you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo codes THPN, TBPN, or TPPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's codes THPN, TBPN, or TPPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Devils fans, it is the week of training camp. Yes, hockey is finally back. I know, obviously, we've been watching the Prospects Challenge, and I got to say straight up really quickly that Alexander Holtz is doing everything that we thought he was going to do, and he is really, really cooking with gas, and I cannot wait for him to get on the ice during training camp and see all the new players and just get things going. But before we do that, we have a very special guest joining us here on this edition of the Devil's State of Mind podcast. A lot of you have actually requested her many a times, and this is a perfect time more than any to have her on and obviously talk about herself and talk about the thing we all love talking about the most, and that is the New Jersey Devils. It is with great pleasure that we welcome on a Devils writer who covers the Devils for the Hockey Writers, Miss Christy Flannery. Christy, first and foremost, welcome to the Devil's State of Mind podcast. And second of all, how are you today, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you for that lovely introduction. That was fantastic.
It's part of my job. I get that comment a lot. I get a lot of people who come on as guests and say, wow, that's a really good intro. I try to hype up people as much as possible, even if they don't need it. I try my very best.
And here I was thinking that I was special.
Well, you are certainly special because, again, like I said, when we talked about it before we started today, that you were very much requested to come on here. So I'm excited to have you on, and I'm looking forward to getting to know more about you as well as also your takes on the Devils, because like I just mentioned, we are just a couple of days away from the start of training camp. Wednesday, I believe, is actually the official date of training camp. So that's when the players are going to do their physicals and everything like that. And it's going to be exciting. So let's kind of jump right into the questions. And we'll start with the first one. And it's a very simple one. What got you into wanting to be a journalist?
I knew I wanted to be a writer probably like in the first grade. And then it was kind of as I got older, just figuring out what I wanted to do with it. I still want to write a book at some point. My goal is to be published by the time I'm 40. But in college, it was a no-brainer. I wanted a journalism degree. I knew it wasn't the money-making major, but at the same time, it was something that was really important to me. And when I started college, I was actually leaning more towards entertainment and like fashion and all that kind of stuff. And then I slowly became really interested in hockey. And then it just clicked. And I said, I'm passionate about hockey, I'm passionate about writing, and I'm just going to merge the two together. And here we are.
Sometimes it's just how it works. It's not, sometimes it's not always, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind when it comes to what you want to do. And sometimes life has a way of coming in and giving you these opportunities. And that kind of leads me into my next question. What got you into hockey? Like, what was it about the sport that got you into watching it and following it and obviously now writing about it?
It's such a boring story. I had a coworker that I used to work with, and she posted on Facebook that she had an extra ticket to the Devils game. And it was a while since I've seen her. And I messaged her and said, hey, I'm sure you're trying to get some guy to go with you, but if you can't find anybody, I'll go with you. And the only thing I knew about the team at that time, I knew nothing about the sport because I'm not a sporty person. I never followed anything. But I knew John Madden because my friend to this day, my friend used to babysit his children, Tyler and Reese. So I knew John Madden was a player on the Devils. And I remember walking into Prudential Center, and that was the only thing I knew. That was the only player I could root for. And I became hooked. I literally watched one game and I became hooked and obsessed. And that was literally it. To this day, I don't watch baseball. I don't watch football. I care less about basketball. It's just hockey and that's it.
You know, that's fair enough. And I think that that's, I wouldn't actually honestly consider that much of a boring story. It's more fascinating than anything else because you did have a Devils connection kind of like right away like that. And that's, I think that's really great that you got into it. What was it about the sport itself that you kind of liked at it and you watched and you said, oh, this is, you know, definitely something that I'm really, really interested in?
I think it's fast paced. It's physical. I just love the speed of the game. I just was like that because there's so, when you're there live, and I think anyone who's seen a live game kind of gets it. Like when you're on TV, it's focused on the puck, but when you're there, you kind of see them, you know, changing for different shifts, and there's so much happening away from the puck, but there's always like something that you can kind of marvel at and just focus your energy on. And it just, I literally can't explain it any more than that. It was just, I saw it and it was just it, like a light bulb went off and I said, this is my sport. This is my only sport.
I love that because, you know, I always love to ask people about, you know, how they got into the sport and obviously also how they became Devils fans and watching the team. And there's always an interesting story behind it. There's always something that revolves around it. And you kind of nailed it on the head. A lot of people that I know that I've taken to games who know nothing about hockey, who have never been to a game before, the immediate reaction that they get is, wow, everything is so fast paced. Everything is up tempo. And especially now with the new generation of Devils fans and hockey fans, you know, coming into the forefront, you know, a lot of them want that immediate gratification. They want that speed. They want that excitement. And they get it from watching this sport, especially if you just happen to be getting into it during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, I've had a couple friends who were watching games during the playoffs this past year, and they said, where have I not, how come I've never watched this sport before? And I'm like, This is what the sport is like. It's unbelievable what the sport can do to people. And, you know, the sport of hockey has definitely benefited a lot of people like yourself, like myself. And I think that's great. And, you know, obviously it's just super exciting. It just really is. And, you know, it never gets old. I think you could probably agree with me on that.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like even the playoffs, like I just want a good game. You know, and I think I'm at a point now where I kind of root for players more than I do for like teams. Like there's just certain guys I really want to see win a cup, whether it's like a Pavelski or, you know, whoever it might be. It's just a great sport. It really is. It's just such a good time.
I mean, I could be very biased, but I think it's the most exciting sport out there. And I think it's one of the best. It's the best playoffs that you'll see like during the year, like baseball, football, none of these sports compare to 7-game series where these guys are playing ice hockey. And it's just the thrill and excitement. It's absolutely phenomenal. So,
yeah,
you know, that's really phenomenal. And I do have one very interesting question to ask you about, you know, what is it about, I guess you'd say this, what would be considered to be your style when it comes to writing about the sport and writing about the Devils as well? And this was something we kind of talked about off camera, but I really, really want my listeners to kind of get an idea because in my opinion, especially because I started writing articles for Inside the Puck, shout out to the boys over there for giving me that opportunity. You kind of get a different perspective of what you want to express to your viewers and people who want to check those out. So what would be considered your style and just how you like to talk about the sport and the Devils to your viewers?
I'm definitely a features writer. I love telling stories. I love bringing in different perspectives. And I think the one thing I learned last year was my first year as a credentialed member of the media is these are all just human beings that are doing their job. Like some of us go to offices from 9 to 5. This is their job. And I think a lot of times you kind of forget that there's other things going on in these people's lives once they get, you know, put the uniform on and they go on the ice. And I really love the stories where you kind of humanize them because I think it's really easy and it's really quick to sit down and say, oh, that guy's having a really bad day. Like we should trade him. And I'm like, but how many times have you had a bad day? And I understand when you throw in the money aspect of it, it's like you're getting paid, you know, $63 million to play a game. It's like, yes, that is true. And you are expected to show up and do your job, but that's of anybody. And everybody's getting paid and they're expected to show up at their job and deliver. And not, and listen, you're going to have an off day. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to make a mistake. That's just life. And I think for me, I love telling the stories where you kind of, I can bring in that aspect of the player and kind of humanize them. And my goal for this season is to try and really connect fans with the players. You know, now that we have the locker room open, this is like a whole new opportunity because my first year, obviously we had the podium, we didn't have locker room access. So I'm excited to see what I can do and what I can really bring to fans. But definitely a features writer. That's definitely my strength. And I think if you've read any of my stuff, it's, you can kind of see what I do. Even when I talk about like takeaways from games, I like to bring people along and say, you know, this player was playing soccer and like the energy was really upbeat. Like I really love bringing my readers along for a journey and an event. Even if you didn't actually go to the game in person, I would like to bring that to you.
And that's really great because I feel like it gives people an opportunity to kind of get a better understanding of where the players are coming from, what really the game's going on. And like you just mentioned, people not being able to, you know, be at the game, they get a better understanding of how the game went than just watching the highlights. Because again, the highlights tell very little of the story of the game, in my opinion. I mean, there are games where you can watch the highlights and you pretty much know exactly what happened. But what's great about you, Christy, because I've read many of your articles, is that you very much detail a lot of things which are very important and give people information that they may not be able to find in a lot of other avenues, which is great. I know, I remember one in particular that you wrote when you interviewed former Devils PA announcer Joe Tolentino. Shout out to you, Joe. Yeah, absolutely. He was on my podcast. He actually just got married this past week, so congratulations, Joe. Wanted to give him a special shout out for that one. But I remember reading your article because it came out and it was a feature story, and I was really interested because I was interested in potentially interviewing him for the Devil's Night podcast, and he did eventually come on. And again, it was that opportunity to really learn about Joe a lot more as a person and learn about the journey to getting to where he ultimately got, which was getting the chance to be the PA announcer for a professional hockey team. And that's what I'm saying. I'm a huge feature story fan myself. I feel like you get to really know the people a lot more. And it's great that you bring that dynamic to your writing and covering this team, which is really important in my opinion.
Thank you. It's all about perspective, I think. I think everybody has a different perspective. You know, I talked to Cam Jansen, you know, a couple weeks ago. He's another great guy. I love him. And like,
he was talking to his podcast, by the way. It's a great podcast. Yeah.
Fantastic. And I was talking to him about just kind of like how he, like, you know, when you go on the ice for your first shift, like, I'm like, are you trying to like, you know, hit people? Like, we're trying to bring the physicality. And he goes, you're trying to get the puck out of your zone. He goes, you have to watch a guy's play along the wall. And he goes, it's so cliche when everyone's like, you know, you hear coaches and players talk about the little things. And he goes, watch how certain players use the puck and use the wall to their advantage and or disadvantage. And he goes, every guy is in the lineup for a reason. And he goes, sometimes it's missed, but he goes, it's the little things. And that's like, I can't wait to watch that this season because there's always a new vantage point to look at things. And even talking to Ken Danico and saying how, like, you know, there's such an adjustment when you come to a new team in a new city and you have to adjust. And I think people miss that, you know, like for like Ryan Graves, who is now coming in New Jersey, trying to settle into like, you know, the chaos of living in the tri-state area, learning a new system. And I think those are a lot of things that people miss. But they could very well explain why someone is maybe taking a little bit longer to adjust to a system or taking a little bit longer to find their rhythm. And those are kind of things that I would like to point out, because I think it goes along the lines of really humanizing them and making them realize that it's an adjustment on and off the ice.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that I always look at it like with sports and with life in general, you're always learning something new. And especially when you have more people that are covering certain things that you're interested in, you end up picking up things. I mean, I consider myself to be a massive hockey buff who knows so much about the sport and things like that. But I'm learning stuff. I'm learning new stuff every day, and I'm learning about different types of culture. And now that I'm going to be covering the Metropolitan Riveters this year, I'm really kind of curious to know, what is it like for a professional women's hockey player to play in this league? To, you know, when, you know, are they treated, you know, what ways are they treated comparatively to the NHL, and how things are handled in general? Very much looking forward to learning more about that once the season begins. So yeah, you know, again, the feature stories are really important, because again, it's a different dynamic than what we normally get when people are writing, you know, scripts about how the game went and things like that, and how you're separating the player from what they do on the ice on a game-to-game basis to the person that they are and what they do. I remember when we all learned about Dougie Hamilton and how much he loves going to museums and how much, you know, he loves to do these like very, very quiet type things. And you kind of learn more about them. I always find that more interesting than always what they do to like get better on the ice and stuff like that. Cause a lot of it is the very similar answers, I would imagine.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, like, you have a microphone and a camera in your face. You're not going to say anything that's questionable or that's going to get you in trouble. And you would do the same thing, right? Like, you would kind of keep things very short and things like that. And if anyone watches, you know, like the post-game press conferences, a lot of it is the recycled answer, or like the same answer, like spoken in a different way. And I mean, listen, I understand from a human perspective, like, if you have a bad day at work, the last thing you want to do is go answer questions about like why it was a bad day. So I think, you know, it's part of the job. You have to do it. You have to report on those things. You have to ask those questions. But on the other side of it, for me personally, I just get a lot of joy out of really telling stories and just kind of giving a different perspective. Because I think you can have your opinion, and that's, you know, that's great. But to have a different perspective and kind of be like, oh, I didn't look at it that way, I think that's a lot of fun. And it's not something that's really reported on, I guess, or broadcasted.
No, and I get that. And there's different types of media out there that can, you know, that can say things in a certain way. And there's good and bad with writing. There's good and bad with, you know, even what I do in podcasting. That sometimes you don't necessarily see exactly how I'm reacting to certain things. And so it's great that we have so many people like yourself that bring different types of, you know, ways of us to learn about players and things like that, which is important. So. Now let's shift to talking about the New Jersey Devils, because, you know, like I said before, and I'll keep saying it because I can't believe it, that training camp is starting this week, that the Devils are going to be here. I mean, most of them are already here, and we are going to see, you know, a bunch of the same guys, but we're also going to see some new guys as well. And my first question to you when we talk about the Devils going into training camp is, when you look at the Devils offseason as a whole, and the Devils were certainly busy, one of the busier teams in the NHL this past offseason, what is the first word that comes to mind when you want to sum up the offseason as a whole, and why?
I think it's improvement, because on paper, this team has improved. And listen, we didn't get Johnny Gaudreau. We didn't get Matthew Tkachuk. Like, we all know this. But at the same time, you can't dismiss what Fitzgerald has done. And I'm a really big person. Like, I agree with Herb Brooks. Like, you don't necessarily need the best players. You need the right players. And for me, when I looked at this team last year, one of the biggest things for me is I said the team needs depth. Because we saw what happens when Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier were injured. Like, the bottom six really couldn't hold it together. And it's really no fault of any. It's just they couldn't do it. So for me, like, Eric Halla, I think, is a really great move. I know some people were kind of like about it, but I really like what he can do with the bottom six. I think a lot of people forgot about Miles Wood. I think Miles Wood is a very crucial member of this team. And what we saw last year was nobody really could replicate his style and what he brings to the team. So I'm really happy. I think there's more balance in the forward group this, like, coming up. I think we're going to see more balance, instead of kind of like, we have these really great few players, and then the bottom's just kind of like, you know, we don't really know what's going on, or it just keeps rotating in and out. So I think the team has improved. The defense has definitely improved. The goaltending, fingers crossed. hopefully improved. I
Knock on wood, something.
I've not retired yet, so we seem to be in a good in a good place right now. But yeah, I think improvement would be my word.
You know, and it was funny how you were talking about, you know, creating depth. I was going to say if there was any position that needed depth, it was goaltending, considering the fact, you know, seven different goaltenders is not going to obviously get it done when it comes to this team trying to make the playoffs. And I do want to mention, and I shared it via The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun wrote it, and he talked about the fact that the Devils were very much in the Johnny Gaudreau sweepstakes start of the first day of training camp, the free agency period. And then they really, really did make a push several times to acquire Matthew Tkachuk. And I've mentioned this before to my listeners, and I try to really, really nail it down that not every move the Devils try to make, even if they don't make it, doesn't get put into the limelight. Like, there might be things that Fitzgerald tried to do that we will never know about, that we have no idea that he was doing. So it's,
that's the thing. You know, that's very true. I mean, we've had media availabilities where we've asked about certain players or, you know, certain things. And he's like, you know, I don't really want to discuss that. And there are things that are happening behind the scenes that we might never know about. You know, we don't know if maybe we got a call on Damon Severson at the trade deadline. Like, you have no, there's certain things you're just not going to know. And it's, I get it at the same time. Like, you know, you don't want to, you know, aggravate another GM or anything like that. So, like, I understand why he's doing what he's doing, but you're 100% right. There are certain things that as fans and even as media that we just might not never know.
Exactly. And so I think it, at the end of the day, you know, the moves that we see them make, you know, we obviously know about. And, you know, sometimes, like we just got with Pierre LeBrun's latest article, just talking about the fact that the Devils were in. So, again, I think that brings a little bit of peace to the Devils, knowing that we still tried to take a, you know, swing for the fences and really try to get an impactful player. But as Pierre LeBrun did mention at the end of his article, the Devils will have a pretty decent amount of cap space the next, you know, following in 2023 to potentially go out and get another, you know, very impactful player. Who that impactful player, although everybody knows at this point who I'm counting on, his name's David Pasternak. But anyway, it's more of just, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, you know, that they were trying, and they're trying to make moves that are best for this team. And again, I think improvement, you know, you're talking about really, really nailed on the head, because at the end of the day, that's what Fitzgerald wanted to do. He wants to improve the team, and he also wants to create a lot of competition, which I love. I love that this team, he wants the identity of everybody's competing from top to bottom, veterans to rookies to everybody. And that's where people were talking about, well, now we don't have enough room to fit certain players. You know, is Alexander Holtz going to actually make the top six? You know, look, you know, who are we going to move down? And I think that's a good problem to have, at least the way I look at it, that we have a bunch of guys that can fit in, that want to compete, want to be in the NHL, and that only makes the team as a whole better. So that's the way that I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I did a mini series about, like, just training camp battles of each position, just because there's
just
so many.
One about defensemen, I think. You
know. Yeah, and, like, even with the defense, like, you kind of assume that it's pretty much set between, you know, our big four, and then you have Marino and Smith, but you do have, like, Ball and, you know, Nikita and Riley Walsh that can make a push, that can give them, you know, you have Thomas Hickey coming in on PTO that, you know, is going to want to continue his career. But, like, even at wing, there's a lot of players. Like, you know, you look at it right now, and it seems like Andreas Janssen could be the odd man out. We don't know what he's going to, you know, come into training camp like. You have Tatar, you have Zetterlund. Like, there's so many players that are vying for these spots. And healthy competition is really good, because there are a lot of guys that can kind of go into that bottom six, and you don't really know. Like, you have Jesper Boqvist. Like, is he going to make the team? Because we can all pretty much understand that when he went training camp last year, really Dawson Mercer took his spot, because Dawson Mercer started as a third line center. So you really don't know if there's going to be that surprise or that dark horse that could really challenge a veteran. Because obviously when you sign, like, a Thomas Tatar and Andreas Janssen, you're not expecting them to be moved into the AHL. You're expecting them to be at the NHL, but there are a lot of AHL, you know, ready kids that made an impact at the end of last season.
And I think it took the Devils organization a little bit by surprise with how quickly, especially you look at the way Utica had its first year back being the Devils affiliate. They just came out and started the year 13 wins in a row, just going off and really guys stepping up. And it was really, really a sight to see. And it just shows the improvement. NHL prospect pool just put out their top 10 prospect teams with the top 10 prospect list. The Devils are at number 5 going into the season, which doesn't really surprise us. So that, again, shows the positivity. So my next question to you, Christy, is what is the biggest thing out of all the different stories that are out there about, you know, the Devils going into training camp, what is the biggest thing you're looking for at training camp this season?
I think the biggest story is obviously Alexander Holt, to see, you know, what he can do, if he's going to make the team. If he does make the team, is he going to be in a top six role? For me personally, I just kind of like to look at everybody as a whole and just see, like, who wants it, you know? Like, at that point, there is so much competition. And guess what? Like, certain spots aren't guaranteed. So, like, we saw with Jesper Boqvist last year. So, like, for me, it's, like, that drive. It's that, like, who wants it? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I want to say. You know, who's going to come in and just kind of expect to make it? Like, I want to see – they talked so much at the end of last year's media availability about how they were not happy and they have to kind of get it together. And they, like, every individual player needs to kind of rediscover themselves and kind of get that next level. So you want to see them come in with that. Like, this is the time where they have been off the ice for so long, they haven't been together, that you really want to see that immediate, like, things are different. Like, there's an air about this team where, like, we want to compete. And listen, the Metro is really hard. And even if they don't make the playoffs, it might not be a dig at how they perform. It's just the Metro is just insanely talented. Thank God that Kadri didn't go to the Islanders. I mean, thank you. But we, you know, you want to see them be competitive. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it can't be fun to be in a locker room and lose, like, 8-4. That cannot be fun for them. So you want to see that excitement right off the bat. You want to see them kind of come together in the next couple of weeks and really showcase what they can do individually and as a team. Because I think a lot of people miss that individually, a lot of players came off career seasons last year.
They did.
A lot of players came off, had, like, the best offensive numbers of their career last season under Lindy Ruff. It's just as a whole, they couldn't really keep it together.
Right.
I'm actually, not to plug my own stuff, but I actually have an article coming out this coming week that's going to be three issues that the Devils, like, kind of need to address if they want to make the postseason or at least make a push for it. And one of the big things is they gave up so many points last year because they couldn't hold on to a lead. There were so many points that were left on the table that if they actually were able to close out these games, they could have been a really good chance to fight for a playoff spot. And I think that's where we're going to see the importance of Palat, Holla, Smith, like, to have that veteran voice to calm them down in the locker room and on the bench. Like, I think that's going to be huge. And I'm excited to see kind of how the veterans are going to handle this team.
There's a reason why I consistently call the Metropolitan Division the Division of Death, because of just the amount of really good teams that are in this division and how difficult it is to get even into the top three. And I think that, like you just nailed on the head, that the Devils could still have a really, really good season and it might just not be enough because of how deep this division really is and how tough it is. And I love that you were talking about how a lot of guys had individually great seasons. You know, last year, Nico Hischier, best season of his career since 17-18, his rookie year. Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes, prior to him getting injured, was, you know, basically on a 90-plus point game pace. I mean, he was playing phenomenal. And I constantly said that, look, Lindy Ruff, you know, he's brought here for the main part. The main reason is to develop the core of the team, to identify it, develop it, and go from there. The team itself as a whole is still not fully there yet. And it's because of differing circumstances, goaltending, guys getting hurt. You were talking about lack of depth. I mean, veteran guys in the locker room who have been there, who know what it takes to get through those difficult times when they're losing two or three games in a row or get blown out. How do you recover for the next game? There's all these little things that I think sometimes we don't think about enough that could be really beneficial for this team. So I'm glad that it's kind of like looking into, you know, that type of situation. So this kind of leads me into my next question, because I saw this article that you wrote and I was fascinated by it. I was so fascinated by it because a friend of mine actually made a video about the same thing. And I would highly recommend you go read this article. You can, again, go to Hockey Writers, type in Christy Flannery, and you will find all of her articles that are there. Can you talk to us about your article you posted about the Devils being right on the same track to becoming the next Colorado Avalanche, the defending Stanley Cup champions?
I got so much hate about this. And I think people just saw the title and just made assumptions. Of course. The reason this article came about is because when I was watching Colorado win the Stanley Cup, they asked the GM about where the team was at and how they were. And 5 years ago, they were the worst team in the league, had a horrible record. And he goes, we had our superstars. Like, our superstars were in place. He goes, they were developing. And he goes, it was my job to build around them. And my argument is that for the first time in a really long time, I think Devils fans can look at the team and say, we have a core. We right. have Jack Hughes. We have Nico Hischier. And you know what? I'm going to throw Siegenthaler into that core too. Now that he's locked up for a couple of years, he proves yes. himself. Like, we have a core in place. And I think mm-hmm. it's up to Fitzgerald to build around them. And I think people saw the title and I saw one comment. I laughed and it was like, oh yeah, the Devils are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. I said, nobody said that. At one point in my article, I said, the Devils are kind of where Colorado was at in like 2016, 2017. We have these young stars, they're developing, and we have to build around them. And I was very honest. Right now, we have a lot of contracts that are either going to be UFAs or RFAs at the end of this year. And most of them are the team's bottom six. It includes, I believe, Tatar, Janssen, McLeod, Bastian. I think Boqvist is in that mix as well. Mm-hmm. So I said, I can't comment about the depth aspect of it because our depth can look completely different.
Right.
Next year. Can look mm-hmm. completely different. But I said, we have a core of superstars with Nico Hischier, with Jack Hughes. And I said, they are on the right track. And Fitzgerald has made it a point to say he's not looking to build success that's not going to be consistently competitive. He's like, I am building towards long-term competition. And he knows that takes a long time. We know that takes a long time. And I understand it's stressful for Devils fans to be like, oh my God, we've been waiting so long. We've been in this rebuild for so long. But at the same time, you can see the pieces are in place. We have our second overall, you know, defenseman. We have Luke Hughes, who we picked fourth overall. Like, we have this young team of talent that mm-hmm. is being developed. We now have the veteran voices that are really mm-hmm. needed in those moments when the team, you know, blows a two-goal lead, they're going into the third period and it's tied and they're all kind of like, afraid to like lose the game.
Right.
All I'm saying is they're on that track. I'm not saying that they're going to be Stanley Cup champions in the next 2 years. I'm not right. saying that in 3 years. But they are finally on a track of success. We have our superstars locked up long term. Now it's just a matter of building the pieces around them to really solidify the team.
And I think you nailed it on the head. And yeah, I totally can get where people would immediately fly off the handle from just reading the title of the article. And this is where I tell people, you need to read these articles before you jump to conclusions. I know on Twitter now, they have the thing where if you want to retweet an article, it says, do you want to read this first before, you know, you share it? And I think that's kind of like the way I look at it. Like, did you read this? Like, I've written articles and people react. And I'm like, did you read anything I said before you reacted to this article? Because if you did, okay, great. I'll give you that. But if you're reacting just because of the title, it doesn't tell the whole story. And there's so many different things that the Devils have done similarly that, you know, the Avalanche did starting 5 years ago to building to this point.
Yeah, and even like Ryan Graves has made comments that he says, like, you know, the Devils are where Colorado was. And if anyone should know, you would think it would be Ryan Graves. Like, he's made right. comparisons about Jack Hughes to Nathan MacKinnon and Nico to Gabriel Landeskog. And if you want to say Dawson Mercer has potential to develop into a versatile, like, Nico Rantanen, like, those, there are things there. I mean, do we have a Cale Makar? No. But same yeah. time, we don't know what our youngsters are going to develop into. Maybe the two of them together could bring success like that. I mean, Cale Makars don't grow on trees, like, let's be honest with each other. But I don't think the Devils are as far away as people think they are. Mm-hmm. And I saw one comment and I laughed and it was like, oh, like, this must be written by a Devils fan. And I'm like, no, it's just factual.
Right.
Like, it's my opinion, but it's also based on some things that are factual. Like, even if you look at, like, how many points Jack Hughes had at a certain age to, like, where Nathan MacKinnon was at that age, like, it's very similar.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can disagree with it. That's fine. Like, I don't mind when people disagree with me, but I think people aren't, like, ready to kind of see the team turn that corner.
Yeah.
And I think the team is ready to turn the corner.
And
developing into something.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think that, you know, a lot of us obviously are frustrated with the last several years of not only not makes, but, you know, being very honest, not really coming close. I mean, you start off last year, you're 7-3-2 in the middle of November, and you finish towards the bottom of the NHL to the point where you get the second overall pick in this past summer's draft. And, you know, you get to the point where you don't care anymore about the draft picks. You're like, when are we going to start actually winning. When are, you know, I've heard people say, oh, we got to tank another year to get Connor Bedard. Well, why would we do that if we already have our core set up? Like, it's, we have to start actually winning, because at some point it has to start clicking. And, you know, nobody's going to go into the season thinking we're going to make the playoffs easily and we're going to cakewalk. A lot of us say if we're making the playoffs, it's going to be like the seventh, eighth seed and we just get in. Like, even in 17-18, we made the playoffs on the second to last day of the season as the eighth seed going into it. So it wasn't like, you know, we were destined to make the playoffs that year. And that's kind of the same thing here. And I know that Nico Hischier had spoken to NHL.com during his European tour and spoke about how he feels this Devils team can surprise people. And that's probably be the case. And I also like how you mentioned that, you know, somebody could say, oh, well, this was written, this must be written by a Devils fan. Well, there are other people in the writing business and in the media that are have nothing to do with the Devils, not associated at all, that are saying literally the same things that we are saying. So it's not like that one person is just saying it and that's, you know, that, you know, that's that. It's multiple people saying, look, the Devils clearly have so much here that they are ready to explode. And at some point it's going to start, you know, clicking, and then you're going to start seeing those results.
Yeah. And like, I'm very objective when I write. I mean, even like, I mean, if you have a bad game, you have a bad game. There's no way right. to like spin it, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But I think for people, it's like an organization where like you kind of like love to hate it a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. oh, they're not great. They're not this. And, you know, there's a changing of the guards that always happens in NHL. You have the teams that have the dynasty, like Chicago. Chicago was on the top for a really long time. And now you go into the rebuild. Like, you know, it's always a cycle in sports. Like, mm-hmm. the Devils are going to come out of it. You know, the Devils, Buffalo, Ottawa, like, these are all young teams that are good. You know, the Rangers last season, like, they're gonna come around. Like, eventually the Caps, the Penguins are gonna have to go through their own kind of a rebuild, whether it's a quick rebuild or not is, you know, to be to be seen. But it the cycle happens, you know. The Devils are, you know, these are all kids that are not even close to their prime yet, so like, you know that, you know, good things are ahead at some point. The cycle's always gonna, it's always gonna spin.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of just, you know, continuing to try to be patient and to just let this team do what it needs to do. And look, this season hasn't even started yet. We have no idea what we are in for. We have the faintest idea. And we will know once the season ends. However it ends is, we'll tell all the story that we need, and we will have people like Christy telling us these stories along the way. So Christy, before I let you go, and again, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been phenomenal. What is the biggest piece or pieces of advice you would give to young people who have a dream of covering / writing, whatever, for sports in general?
Don't give up. I worked in law for 10 years before I got my credential and became a member of the media. And for a long time, this was just like a passion project. Like, I would work my 9 to 5 to, you know, pay the bills. And then I'd come home at night and I would write and do all these things. And just don't give up. Vera Wang did not design her first wedding dress until she was 40. There's no such thing as, you know, you're too late to do these things. I am 33 years old, I believe, 33, 34, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. So I'm, you know, I took a very unconventional path to get here. And if I could do it, you could do it. Just don't give up and just keep focusing on what you want out of life.
I absolutely love that. And I think it's important for young people to remind themselves of that all the time, that, you know, if you continue to work hard, if you continue to be passionate about something and push for it, eventually it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. I would not be here doing Devil State of Mind or anything that I do right now without, you know, the belief in myself and obviously never giving up. So myself and Christy and many others are very prime examples of what happens when you don't give up and you continue to work. Christy, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'm so happy that you had the time to come on and speak with us. But before I go, because I do this with all of my guests, I like to red carpet, as they say, and give the floor to you to promote anything you got going on that you're coming up with or writing, and also let the lovely people at home know where they can find you and interact with you. So Christy, the floor is yours.
Well, first, I just want to thank anyone who actually reads my articles and interacts with me on Twitter. Like, thank you so much. The fans have been so nice to me, and I really appreciate it. I love talking and interacting and all that. It's, you know, with social media, there's such a fun way to interact and kind of get to know people. And I really like to use that to my advantage and really meet people. I met a couple fans, you know, throughout the season last year at Prudential Center, and they were all wonderful. As far as my articles, you can find me on the Hockey Writers. You could just search my name and all my stuff is there. You can follow me on Twitter at @Insoletto_NHL. I never know what it is until like someone puts me on the spot. Like, what's your Twitter handle? And I have no idea. But I'm usually very active on there. Love talking to people. I share all my stuff on there. I'm on Instagram, Skating in Stilettos, and I dabble in TikTok. I'm trying to get more comfortable with being on camera. It's a little questionable at the moment, but I'm trying to get better. Just kind of, it's like a new avenue. It's just something else, something fun, something different. Sports is supposed to be fun.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You nailed that on the head. And, you know, somebody who spends every waking day trying to be on camera like I am right now, it does take time. But the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more fun it gets, too, especially when people start to, you know, really, really take a liking to it and things start to go. But Christy, thank you so much for coming on today. This was an absolute pleasure, and we will definitely, definitely, definitely have you on again on this podcast in the near future. But thank you so much today. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got a story to tell you. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of One Republic, Coldplay, Imagine Dragons, and several other of my favorite, absolutely favorite music bands. And one reason it's been great to listen to is because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me, I have used a lot of different earphones and things like that over the years, and these are the best. No matter where I move my head or how, you know, vigorous it might be, they do not budge. Raycon also gives you 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life. It's phenomenal. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's just such an unbelievable thing that Raycon offers you. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. And there are several different additional awesome features that Raycon has to offer. First and foremost, they have earbud tap functions, making it very easy for you to change volume, to change the song, to shuffle, so many different opportunities. Noise isolation. We know how much a lot of us crave the noise isolation and trying to really focus on what we're listening to. They give you that. And awareness mode helps you understand, well, really, it really does a good job, a phenomenal job, actually, of being aware of where you are and what situation you're in to turn the volume up or down depending on where you are. I mean, all of these features are phenomenal at such an affordable price. It is great. I would highly recommend you getting some. And if you are interested, here's what you do. Go to buyraycon.com today and use one of our promo codes, THPN15, TBPN15, or TPPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's codes THPN15, TBPN15, or TPPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off your purchase. Buyraycon.com, code THPN15, TBPN15, or TPPN15. Once again, thank you to Raycon, and this is an offer you don't want to miss out on.